The Ebola epidemic in West Africa is nearly over. There are just a few cases still popping up, but only a shade of the dozens of infections per day and rampant spread of last year. With more than 11,000 people dead and 27,000 suspected cases, it was the largest epidemic of hemorrhagic fever ever recorded. If the international community hadn't acted and fast, the Centers for Disease Control predicted that Ebola could have infected 1.4 million people.
Every month of delay more than doubled the number of cases that might occur because of that delay. So the model ultimately showed not only the problem, but the need to solve it by going big and going fast.
That's Martin Meltzer. He heads the CDC's modeling team. PBS science correspondent Miles O'Brien recently traveled to Sierra Leone, where the epidemic is believed to have started in December 2013, and to Liberia, which had the highest death toll in all of West Africa, to better understand what we've learned from the crisis and what might prepare us for the next one.
You know, a lot of people criticized the CDC for putting out that high number. The concern that was brought forward was that it was kind of a Chicken Little kind of number. But to the extent that it galvanized a focused response in West Africa, I think you can say that was a successful outcome. The number, if you listen to what was presented at that time, was if we do nothing, this is what will happen. It was a stark outcome which would have put the Ebola epidemic really all over the planet. And it was absolutely mandatory that the West respond and respond quickly.
And one of the things that was key here were public health authorities, both in Sierra Leone, Liberia, and other countries, and from the West, getting to people quickly to see if they had fever, see if they were sick, to isolate them. How did that effort ramp up over time to head off this disease? Because it's so critical to get people, you know, within the first day or two of when they first feel ill. It's not easy.
It's not easy because you had all kinds of things against you. This is as poor a place on the planet as you will find. And the infrastructure is just not there. The medical capability, the ability to respond, the isolation units, just the sheer numbers of medical professionals, all of these things put them at a huge disadvantage. And when you're dealing with exponential growth, when you get behind something like this, when you get behind the power curve, to borrow a pilot expression, you really have a very difficult time getting ahead of it. And the magic number, as it turns out, was about 70% of the cases. If 70% of the cases could be treated with proper isolation, if you could get to the point where 70% of the burials were done without the ritual cleansing of the body, that exponential growth curve all of a sudden became an exponential decline. And that's precisely what happened. So really what really beat Ebola in this case was education.
You went along with public health teams as they were going into some of these very remote villages and confronting cases as they were happening. And here's one doctor, Patrick O'Team, who you talked to.
The moment they have any other symptoms, so just fever or a headache or joint pain or sore throat, then you need to be very proactive.
Basically, you're fighting Ebola with a thermometer.
Yes.
Which
yes.
seems like you could do, we could do better in
yes,
this day and age, right?
Yeah. It seems we could do better, but unfortunately, that's all we have for now.
Fighting Ebola with a thermometer. Miles O'Brien, shooting an infrared thermometer at the temples of children and adults who might be affected. A better thing would be to have a rapid, reliable test that could test for Ebola, and if somebody is sick, get them isolated right away. Where are we at with a rapid test? Will we have one the next time Ebola inevitably hits this part of the world?
I think we will, Todd. There are a couple of interesting ideas at play right now. We went to MIT, where a team led by biologist Lee Gehrke is working on a strip test, not unlike an early pregnancy test. He's providing do-it-yourself kits for local health workers. And when you do something like that, it becomes much more self-sustaining. And I think as those kits get into play and as healthcare workers on the ground get a sense of how that can be done, I think the next go-round, there'll be something in play. And that will be very, very useful towards stemming an epidemic.
Miles O'Brien, let's take a second before we go here and just talk about the domestic scene here in the United States. A lot of us who follow the science and sort of the real work that goes on behind the scenes in stemming an epidemic and the realities of what it takes to get sick from Ebola, we're pretty disgusted, I would say, with some of the domestic reaction and the fear-mongering that went on when there were one or two cases of this disease in the United States, a doctor in New York City, somebody else in Texas. What have we learned here in the United States, do you think, that the next time Ebola comes around, and it will come around again, that we handle it a little bit differently?
Well, I hope that people will take the time to understand what Ebola is and what it really can do. In the first world, at a place like NIH or Emory University, Ebola is manageable even without a vaccine. The human body can fight off Ebola as long as you can keep the human being alive long enough. That's the trick. And in intensive care in the United States, that will almost always happen. So it's important to understand that the epidemic we saw in West Africa was as much as anything a function of poverty and lack of medical infrastructure. And so I think it's really horrible that there were some quarters in the political world and in the media world that made this seem much scarier than it is, also in, frankly, in the context of an election. So, you know, this is another consequence of our scientific illiteracy in this country, frankly. And I think it's really important for people to stop and understand these things. It is scary. Ebola is scary, but it's not a threat that's going to create this huge epidemic in the United States the way it was portrayed back in the fall.
The inside story of what went wrong and really what went right as public health workers in the international community and residents in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and other parts of West Africa dealt with the horrible Ebola epidemic. Miles O'Brien, science correspondent for the PBS NewsHour. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Todd.
You can catch the four-part series Cracking Ebola's Code all this week on the PBS NewsHour.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.